if there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There is no second best crypto asset.
I respect you, and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. We should have better sound. I've been having for 2 weeks, I've been having these peaks. I believe you should not be hearing peaks tonight. If you do hear peaks, just let me know on the regular chat, because I believe I found the source. It was very hard to find this one. I've been looking at it every day, so, and I'm like, I can't find it for tonight. But now I think I fixed this, and I think we found what was causing the stream dropped frames. So it was the multi-streaming. So I believe we should have good technicals tonight. How are you doing, people? I'm coming here to chill with you guys because I've been working so hard for a whole year now on white people food. And today I'm done. It's ready to send to print. So what we're going to do is tonight I will be uploading the final PDF print to Amazon. They're going to be sending me 3 different samples of ways it could be printed with cost trade-offs. I think I have found a solution where I won't have to charge you guys $79.99. $79.99 might be the option for those of you who want the absolute shiny, perfect premium print. But we might have an option at $49.99. for a good print. I'll have to order the author copies. They should come to me in about 2 weeks to 1 month. And I'll be able to judge which ones do we sell, which ones do we keep on the shelves. It will depend if it addresses a need. I think some of you might need a book that you don't care about the shininess of the print. And you just care about the recipes. In that case, I might have a low price option. And then some of you might want to have more a historical artifact that you'd like to keep in its full beauty, and that will be the hardcover. It will be an absolutely great gift to give. Absolutely shiny book. And Sub7 was saying on Discord, you should react to Terrence Howard's new movie when you get a chance. It's a documentary where he breaks down his theories. It's hilarious. Well, with Terrence Howard, we always have a massive divagation. The universe is God. He explains his theory of God. He has his whole... conception that you can change the definition of zero and it leads to insight, but the guy doesn't understand what he's talking about. Very often, when he's challenged and pushed, he reverts to, well, that's what my guy told me. The guy has a math guy. It's like, well, yeah, they did the thing. They looked into it, and it's like, that's the answer. So it's like, what? You're not even doing your own physics and math? You have an on-staff mathematician that's feeding you this bullshit. It's like absolute insanity. But it's so disappointing when you see the whole system of science instead of addressing something like the revolutionary phenotype. It's like, call me a quack if you want, but address it. Call me a quack. Explain why I'm a quack. But no, they don't want to talk about this. They want the super quack. They want the black guy quack. And that tells you everything about these people, like Eric Weinstein and Neil deGrasse Tyson. It's like they want the super quack. They don't want to address a rational argument that explains how life emerged and how the genetic layers emerge. That they don't want, especially since it comes from a white scientist. But give them a true quack that says really, really stupid stuff. They're going to prop him up. They're going to make response videos to him. Look at this. Neil deGrasse Tyson, 15 million views, my response to Terrence Howard. So we have 15 million views on something that we all know is false. At least we don't know that this is false. In fact, I'm pretty sure it's true. Why don't you talk about this a little bit? Oh, well, JF. You've said some other true things. We wouldn't want to be associated with the other true things you've said. I'd rather go for the quack. Ked's Dead sends $5. Thank you so much. He says, please convert this money into calories, into streams. Well, thank you very much. I am happy to convert all of this. All of this will be immediately converted to calories. Subversion, Shimpy. Shimpy has sent a super chat through XMR chat. He says, free chud. He sends $10. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for the donation. Yes, absolutely. Chud the Builder has been, is in a case of actual unjust judiciary processing, and it's very sad that the proceedings have become the punishment. This is what the left loves to do. They don't really care if it's fair or if even at the end they win. They just pass you through the process so that you pay with your life, you pay with your time. Ty Rogerson says, it's got to be a one truth pony. Oh, yeah, they love the one truth pony because he's isolatable. See, when you start engaging with a discussion with JF, it's like there's many problems, bro. There's many problems where official science has drifted away from the interest of the people and even from the pursuit of the truth itself. And Papa JF has them all. I collect them, those failures. I accumulate them. I make money from them. I sell books with those truths in them. And now I'm about to enter the culinary world because tonight I'm sending the final print of White People Food. Look at this absolute sexy cover. This has been so much work. It is insane. 312 pages. 312 pages. Some of these pages are one page, one recipe per page. Some of these pages are 50 recipes per page. So I have this super illustrated portion of the book, which is one image and then the recipe. And then I have recipes that are more compacted, where I have strategies and where you can include maybe 100, 150 different ingredients in your recipe. And then I have super compacted recipes, which are one-liner recipes, like three words or what you have to do to create that thing. I am extremely proud. And it's a book that, yes, people were mentioning earlier. If White People Food exists, says YouTube commentator, white people must also exist. There is something extremely implied in this book, and I didn't have to write much about it. Let me tell you, that just this cover, just the fact that you hold into your hand all of these recipes that are bound by this cover, it does all of the work. It does all of the work, because suddenly you realize, wow, when I'm frying fries, I am somewhere in a branch of Western civilization. I am part of a series of decent operations and transmissions of knowledge that stem from various places. And I may be in a Quebec diner and I'm enjoying a poutine with brown fries, red potatoes, and I'm there. It's European. It's because I'm white that I'm there. And it's because other white people have been working on fries and made it this way instead of that other way, that I'm there. And if I eat a golden fries in a rich hipster restaurant or bistro, I'm tasting another part of the history of European civilization. This is, I don't have to write about this. All I have to do is give you the right ingredients so you can live this inheritance. So that was my challenge. My main focus was, it's not enough to talk about European culinary culture. I wanted the book to improve your European culinary culture. I want you and your wife to be able to make the best fries in the world, so that it doesn't cross your mind to go to McDonald's to get just the fries. You might still go to McDonald's because you enjoy it, but you should be able to master it so that your fries are better than all of the restaurants around you. And it's not so hard. It's not so hard. It's not so hard to do an Eggs Benedict either. It's really not hard to do a creme brulee. And now you have desserts. Now, if you happen to have a stock of eggs, butter, cream, you can do a lot of these recipes. And you can pass eggs and transform them. You start from eggs, which would have been boring. You transform them into a creme brulee, one of the best desserts you can possibly have. And all it takes is sugar, cream, eggs, and knowledge on how to get there. Need Staff says, this book looks like a beautiful conversation starter. People will be outraged at the title. Then they will be quiet when the food enter their mouth. Absolutely. So you can just present a dish first. You present a dish to your friend and it's a way to connect. Now, of course, if your dish is well done, they're going to want to know, how did you do this? Like, wow. You did a creme brulee, you did an Eggs Benedict, you did a jambon beurre sandwich. Where does that come from? And then it's from under the table, you pull white people food and you just you drop it in front of them and it's like, that's where it comes from. Kids Dad says, the way you do potato, are you sure you have no Irish ancestry? I may have some Irish ancestry. At the beginning, when I did my first 23andMe test, they classified a lot within English-Irish. It was like 20%. And I do feel Irish. I mean, I love their cuisine. I have great respect for the Irish. But eventually, 23andMe refined and they discovered that a lot of these genes that they had initially attributed as English-Irish, like almost all of them, went back to southern France. And so they recategorized. But that means that there's some degree of mixing, perhaps. And the fact that 23andMe was confused for 1 or 2 years before they eventually got enough data to classify them finally as southern France, it tells me that, probably there's so much flow of genes between English and French because of war, constant peace, then war again. It's very probable that our genes are very close. Cat's Dad says, thank you, JF. I will buy the book. Well, thanks to you. That's really appreciated. ELDR says, has anyone else gone super hard edge on terms of ingredient, in terms of ingredient quality and purity? I didn't. I would say to the contrary, this book is very loose. So White People Food is not a book that will annoy you. In fact, instead of annoying you by saying you need to find this particular type of potato, in fact, most of the book I'm telling you, no, you can do something else. If that doesn't work, if you don't have access to this, here's a couple of replacements you could use. Because my goal with this book was, I want to make it possible. This needs to be possible for you to live European food culture, not just to read about it. So I really wanted this to be a hard guide that tells you, here are your options and here's how wide it can go. And I have a good feel of what someone at the bottom of society can get, because I don't spend much money anyways on eccentric food. There were times in my life where I loved going at pricey restaurants, but that was just for experience. In my everyday life, I do food with really the basics. I like the idea of taking most of my food from a farmer. That way you really only get beef and chicken and eggs, and now you're stuck with this. Now, what do you do? The least you can buy at the grocery store, really, if you can go just to the grocery store for basic vegetables, that is the best way to live. The least you can rely on manufacturing, best way to live. So the first step when you get this book, if you are lost, if you feel intimidated by the book, you open the Eggs Benedict page and you just follow these instructions. Quite simple. And then you're going to learn how to make a hollandaise, and it's going to send you in various pages of the book. It's going to tell you, here's how you can do this, here's how you can do that. Now you move to the white sauce page. You learn how do I start from eggs, butter, egg yolk, and boiled chicken bones and boiled seafood. How do I start from these stocks and get to results like the horseradish, American diner, beefsteak sauce, like the lobster type of sauce, like the cheesy Mornay sauce, like the Donair sauce, the asparagus sauce, the velouté, chicken velouté. And bro, everything looks tasty, Cat's Dad, in this book. Everything looks extremely tasty. Chicken velouté, like, it's something so easy. And if you're the wife of a guy, you want to make your husband happy, you can make a chicken velouté. It's easy. All you have to do is be at home for many hours while it boils, and you can do something like this. And that would be perhaps my top recommendation when you get the book. If you want to... I'm looking for it. There are so many pages to browse through. It's like... One of the absolute beauty, short ribs, Alberta beef short ribs à l'orange, an importation of Chinese culture, of orange treatment, what you would normally do to a duck, I do it to a beef short rib. I'm looking for my second recipe that I would say that's easy and you can get to it so quick. The rapi pie with velouté, a Canadian form of the whole chicken processing. Bro, this is... I've been eating a lot in my life, and this is one of the best ways, probably the best way you can process a whole chicken. You transform it into a pâté that has melted onions and potatoes. The potatoes have been compressed physically by your hand. So you emptied the potato of their water, and you have returned the starch into the mix, leading to a super gooey, jello-like, gelatinous aspect to this. It is absolutely delicious. And this sauce right here is a chicken velouté. And it's like concentrated chicken taste, bro. It's a whole carcass of a chicken that's been boiled down to a small amount of stock. It's been added to a roux that remains white. It is not caramelized. The chicken has the skin of the chicken used as topping for crisps. That is absolutely delicious. And the potato effect of compressing those potatoes mechanically and returning the starch is insane. Insane. It's a big discovery late in my life that I've done thanks to a guy on the Discord who talked to us about his grandma who had these recipes. And I was like, because at first I was thinking I'm not gonna add a rapi pie to the book because I don't know this recipe. I have no idea. And I was searching on Wikipedia and it looked disgusting. It looked really disgusting. And I was like, that must be disgusting. But then I did the research and I realized, oh, maybe there's a way to make it beautiful. Maybe there's a way to refresh it with a more modern take. And I arrived at this absolute creation right here, the rapi pie with velouté. And it teaches you these techniques. This is why I'm telling you to start with the Eggs Benedict and the rapi pie, because it teaches you to dig in the book and say, okay, how do I build my Hollandaise sauce? How do I search in the book for what to do to get to a Hollandaise sauce? I have, of course, my big classics, the premium pretzel burger buns. This is absolutely high-level burger buns. The bun is super important to a burger, by the way. The bun is, and how you treat the bun just before service, like buttering it, panning it, reheating it, steaming it, all of those processes will give you extreme gains in the quality of your burger. The burger is not so much about ketchup, relish, mustard, or all the fantasy stuff you can add, although I do give you all of the ingredients that you can add in a burger in those tactical guides. But really the bun and its treatment is what actually matters. And I have these tactical guides. They will absolutely change your life. The breakfast sandwich is the first content page in the book. And that's how you proceed through a tactical guide. So I have tactical guides for all of the important items. Breakfast platter, crudité platter, chicken wings, hot dog, burger, white sauce, brown sauce. A tactical guide is you can make choices, and your choices will be influencing what kind of sandwich you have at the end. So choose your bun, choose your sauce, choose your meat, choose your egg style, choose your cheese, choose your extras. So let me show you how you end up changing your morning with a single stream of decisions. So I'm going to choose my bun, American biscuit. I'm going to add chipotle sauce, mayo, smoked paprika, or canned chipotle. Now I have my bun chosen. I have my sauce. I'm going to build a salami, sausage patty, and bacon meat stack. Or perhaps I'm going to add a pâté en croûte. And I'm going to make it a really weird breakfast sandwich. But let's go for bacon, sausage patty, and salami. Now I'm going to choose my egg style. Let's put a circular easy egg with a little flowy yolk. And as far as the cheese goes, I'm going to put a thick slice of... let's think about this. I'm going to put a thick slice of brie cheese. I'm going to put literally a triangle of brie cheese. Now I have an American biscuit with sausage, salami. I have a circular easy egg with a flowy yolk. And then I have brie. I'm going to finish this with lettuce pieces. I'm going to butter the bun on the inside with melted butter. And boom, you just invented a new sandwich. This sandwich that I just laid out has never been made. And I just did it by picking random items in my tactical book.
Where can I pre-order? Got a new cottagecore girlfriend that just moved in.
Oh, well, Jan, thank you so much for the big donation. There is no option for official pre-order on Amazon. Now, if we have donors of the show who are rich and who want, do you guys want? Is there interest in the crowd for a super high price Founders Edition? What I would do is this. What I can do is this. I could pre-order hardcover copies, the best printing quality. I could sign them with my white ink pen. I could number them up to five, maybe. Maybe there's five people in the crowd that might want to have this super archival museum style item. And I would absolutely be happy to sell it to you guys. Last time I did the Founders Edition of the Revolutionary Phenotype, I sold five of them at $750. Now, back then I was under pressure to make money because I wanted to buy a house for Mama JF and she was missing like $3,000. And wow, man, that was so great that five people of you guys on the chat just allowed me to buy this house, which allowed me so much liberty. Once Mama JF had a house, there was less cost for apartment rent and it was easier to live in family. This really was a critical moment. Now, if there is interest in the chat, if there are big money shakers in the chat that would want to pay a high price for this very special opportunity, just signal it to me. Just send me some email. Talk about it to me. I'm thinking about maybe doing it. I'm less under pressure these days. I'm less like in the need of $750 quick. But I did it with the Revolutionary Phenotype, and I think it leaves those great hardcover copies of the initial book signed by my hand and numbered, and it's a very good item to have. So yeah, if you're interested in that kind of stuff, just let me know. I know that there was a mod, I believe, who had told me he was ready to pay. We'll see what would be a pleasant price for you that you guys think is comfortable. Just share what you think about it. Green Fez says, aren't you a Bitcoin billionaire, Jeff? You know how one becomes a Bitcoin billionaire, Green Fez? By still selling, no matter what. Just more greed. Just more. That's how you become a Bitcoin billionaire. It's you never spend your Bitcoin. Never. You just buy more. You're right. I am comfortable in life. I do not need massive inputs of money. But if I'm going to sell a unique item that's like five copies of it across the planet, I'm going to charge a price that at least we can stand on the fact that this is a precious item that you will be holding dearly onto. So I will charge a price. It's like when you sell art. It's okay, you could sell that painting for $10, but then you would have devalued the art. You would have disrespected the art. You sell it $1 million because you send a signal, and even the person paying the $1 million, it's kind of, he wants to pay $1 million. He wants to be convinced that he paid for something that is worth. And let me tell you, a founder's edition that I will never reproduce is absolutely worth something. Because this book is going into history, my friends. Maybe I'm deluded, but this book is much bigger than the Revolutionary Phenotype. Now, not that the Revolutionary Phenotype is wrong. The Revolutionary Phenotype remains true, but it's a specialist biologist thing. I mean, can you realize the asymmetry between the number of people you know that are roughly interested in biology versus the number of people you know that are roughly interested in food? That's like everyone. That's a much bigger market. So we have here a book that will absolutely go into history. By the way, just this creton. I mean, you butter a toast with this pork spread, cold. You first just lay a little bit of butter, then you add the pork spread. This is absolutely heavenly. Absolutely insane. Creton is quite something. It is mostly a Quebecois thing, although it does exist in American culture. But the Quebecois are big fans of this. And Croton is another one of these recipes you'll want to do early. The charcuterie plate, full tactical guide. What do you add? What do you need in terms of balance? Do you want to add cantaloupe, beets, dried apricots, rillettes, ham, pâté, liver spreads, cornichons, salami, pepperoni, dried sausage, artichoke art? That is how you live good. Lauren says, doesn't look good, but I bet it tastes amazing. Well, croton looks good once you know what it tastes. Once you know what this thing tastes, this will look good to you. Absolutely delicious. It's like a patty of cold pork spread. Plapides says, JF, did you take most of these photos yourself? No. I took about maybe 20, 30% of the pictures are my pictures. And then maybe 70, 60, 70% are bought by already existing pictures. Of course, you'll see it. You'll feel it as you go through the book. There are these things that are dear to my heart that are very rare and that I couldn't find a picture of, like my pig feet. With my specific recipe, I took the picture. Other things that I took pictures of, the meat pie, because all of the commercially available meat pie were not available. They were not purchasable. So and those that were purchasable, they were ugly, and I didn't want to have a single item in there that I think, oh, well, it's not exactly how the recipe should be made. So I rejected a lot of the photos that I had bought commercially. And then I made my own replacement for those that were dear enough to my heart and that I felt this needs a replacement. Did Bagna Coda make it into your book? Well, there you go, my friend. Bagna Coda, the recipe page, fully illustrated. Bagna Coda. A lot of the recipes that you guys sent me have made it into the book. Some of them, I wasn't enthusiastic at all. I wasn't enthusiastic enough about them to give them a full page, but I included a lot of these suggestions at the end of the book. So you have a little like three-line recipes for these. But a lot of what you guys have proposed have made it into the book, including Bagna Coda. This is something I didn't know about when I started writing this book. Bagna Coda is a dip of oil, butter, and anchovies. Italian thing that you dip your vegetables into. And look at this. This is a discovery that I made in Chicago when I lived in Chicago for a month, the gyro sandwich, bro. a Greek origin sandwich, a pita rolled meat that was sliced thin. Of course, I gave a home recipe for it because the normal gyro is sliced from a rotating pattern, but bro, the tzatziki sauce injected in this is massive. A massive dollop of tzatziki sauce that comes to refresh the whole thing. There is nothing quite like the gyro sandwich. It's hard to explain how good this is. Need Staff sends a super chat. Thank you so much. He says, Mr. JF, do you have lobster bisque in the book? I do not. I decided to stay simple and connected to ingredients that people have access regularly. Lobster bisque, I'm like, if I introduce this in the book, who's going to have lobsters out of my readers? Who's going to have it at a price that's interesting? Because I don't want to send you out there to go buy a $50 lobster so you can get your fucking lobster bisque. The fact is, lobster is overpriced. And yes, price has been a massive consideration in this book. I have often just canceled recipes because they would be too pricey, or I wasn't interested in pushing you in that direction of cuisine. I'm not saying lobster isn't good, and yes, lobster should be part of your experience but I've just decided what I want to compact in this book is what will change your everyday life with the easiest access to ingredient. Doubting Thomas says, JF, the gyro will be controversial. Many will consider this Arabic. Yeah, I know, but it's like it's the most controversial of the book. So it's like, okay, you want to decide that gyro is not white people food? Okay. You can rip the pages off, you know. You can rip it off. But it's like, yeah, I introduced it as a border entity of Greece. And yes, it's an overlap with non-white countries. But the fact is, you go in America and you'll have Greek restaurateurs that are absolutely white. And yes, you know, Greece has become very non-white, but a Greek immigrant from the 1940s was probably white in the U.S. And if he starts his little gyro sandwich shop in America, it's still a white phenomenon to me. Plapides says, JF, preview some Eastern European recipes for us. Absolutely. I do have some stuff from Eastern Europe. Let me just find it. Well, we have here the Syrniki, a breakfast cheese pancake based in cheese curds. Syrniki, sir meaning in Ukrainian cheese curd or cheese, fresh cheese. Those are very soft, you know, made from drained cottage cheese or farmer's cheese. And they lead to this very creamy, cheesy kind of texture to a crepe, to a pancake. That is one of the Eastern European part. I do have many others. Let me, Northern European, I have the platter and artsopa from Sweden. So you have these crepes. With lingonberry jam, with mustard, and served with pea soup, a delicious Swedish pea soup. Here I have borscht, a Russian and Ukrainian beet soup, with the whole history of it, because traditionally it wasn't made of beets, but eventually the modern form converged into a beet soup. Plapides says, I never associated Syrniki with Syrniki. My late mother made such a delicious Syrniki. Oh, well, I'm glad to hear. I'm glad to hear that you will find one of your loved recipe in the book. Then we have Zurek, which is a Polish fermented rye soup. So that is based on the long fermentation of rye, which leads to a very rich fermented taste. In the book, I don't start with rye starter because that would just be too complicated for Americans to get. But I give a side trick to ferment quick with rye flour, which accomplishes an equivalent, and it gives you that fermented taste with a sausage soup. sausage soup. Yeah. Someone is asking about goulash. Do I have goulash? Absolutely. I have a couple of long braised pots, one of them being the Hungarian goulash. Let me try to find it here. Here I have the cassoulet. That is absolutely delicious in terms of a braised meal. You'll never taste beans that are that tasty. I mean, those beans have been boiled into duck and sausage and pork belly fat. It's like the beans aren't beans anymore. The beans aren't beans. Now, goulash must be somewhere close to here. It's just a matter of finding it. You were asking about Eastern European. Here we have a Romanian beef salad, cold beef salad, the salata de boeuf, a very weird, but it's like potato salad, but the Romanians do it with beef or sometimes chicken. And here you have it, right here. Now, bœuf bourguignon, that's absolutely delicious. Crawfish étouffée. Where's my goulash? I lost the page. Maybe I can do a control F. Goulash. All right, there it is. Hungarian goulash, you asked for it. It is right here. It's amazing because you guys are like, did you include this? And I'm like, yes. Did you include this? Yes. Did you include this? Yes. So goulash, of course, is a very general just boil of potatoes, carrots, beef. But in the case of the Hungarians, they do it with lots of paprika. So that's the defining modern form of the Hungarian goulash. They make it very reddish. I didn't put coq au vin because there's so much coq au vin recipes out there. I was like, it's not even worth it. It's pretty accessible to everyone. Anyone can Google just coq au vin. You're going to get 1,000 recipes. So I tried to keep this book distinctive, although giving you the basis. JF, is salad a dirty word in French? Kind of. I mean, to a meat lover like me, I hear salad. I'm not enthusiastic at all about it. But yeah, I do have some salads. I have coleslaw, Caesar salad. I have salad niçoise. Here I have perhaps my most complex creation, cashew duck with morel mushroom, maple crusted raspberry seed cashews that are roasted, a slice of pear with juicy raspberry reduction, maple syrup sauce a la gariepi, a slice of foie gras with bok choy bed to give it this Asian take of it. Cashew duck, if you want to go for a complex thing that you want to dedicate your whole day to making a superb meal, that is definitely where you want to go. I have also just general instructions. So you have a big piece of meat. What do you do with it? You have a pork roast, ribs, beef brisket, or any big piece of meat. Here's a triangle tri-tip. Here's a big brisket. Here's some ribs. Here's a pork shoulder or a pork roast of some sort. Well, here are everything you need to do. You roast them in a wrap foil. For 1 to 3 hours, you uncover, you roast them again for 30 to 60 minutes, and you get these absolute beauties. Like, it's as easy as this. You have a big brisket. It's super hard to approach. It's like this big piece. What do I do with it? Well, follow the 7 steps right there. And in 4 hours from now, you have this super melty, fat, roasted, caramelized contour brisket, each slice of which will be absolutely delicious. One other thing that is just heartwarming in terms of a meal is sauerkraut and the French interpretation of it, choucroute garnie, which is you take sauerkraut, you boil it, and you accompany it with 4 different types of meat and a potato. So you have a boiled potato, you have maybe one or two different sausages, you have a pork belly, you have ham. This is a high option meal where you can choose between 12 different types of meats, and they will all be delicious once they are accompanying the sauerkraut all together. Green Fez says, a big piece of meat, 3 hours in the oven. Exactly. That's if you follow my instructions, you don't have much chance to get things wrong. Because yes, a big piece of meat, you will just put it in the oven, wrapped in aluminium, it's not going to lose its humidity. There's not much overcooking possibility. Unless you were to cook too aggressive and the meat is too fine, like maybe a pork roast or something. But it's like, it's still going to be pretty good. It's very hard to fail at these things. And my grandma recipe for the cold slice pork roast that is absolutely dear to my heart a slice of pork roast, quite simply, just covered in mustard. And here I made a sandwich with just a simple slice of Swiss cheese. And this cold pork is absolutely delicious. You don't need to reheat it. If you'd like to reheat it, you can. But just cold slices of it, absolutely delicious. Stand alone on a table or in a sandwich. And then I have these big instructions, how to make a roux, how to make a stock. So you want to start your brown sauce. You want to make a chicken bone stock. Well, you start here. Here I start from chicken carcass, celery, carrots, onions, straight to the oven. Boil for 1 hour, boil for 6 hours, strain out the solids and reduce, and boom, I have this beautiful brown chicken stock. Down the line, I have other instructions, and I make it into a demi-glace, absolutely delicious chicken taste. If you want some collective meals, those are absolutely great. Little breads, by the way, I give you the whole recipe to make these bread fresh. They are absolutely delicious, stuffed with ground pork, Worcestershire sauce, celery, onion, just absolutely delicious. And you pack the meat into the bun, so the bun is well crusted like a baguette. You pack the meat and you tear the inside of the bun, so it becomes really a pork ball. It's a pork ball in a bread bowl. And this is, you make some of these for festive occasion, collective dinners. It's going to be absolutely delicious. So that is the state of my book. It's ready. I'm just exporting tonight before I go to sleep, and I'll be uploading this to Amazon. I should have an exemplar in my hands here, maybe in 2 weeks or 3 weeks from now. John Drake says, cold pork and mustard on toasted bread with butter is better than it sounds. Absolutely. Green Fez says, roasting a chicken takes practice and skill. To some extent. I mean, it's not dramatically hard. Subversion Stopper sends a super chat. Thank you so much. He says, hello, Jeff. I'm glad to hear that you made the book's recipe with common ingredients. Seems most cooking books, every recipe always has a few ingredients that are either hard to get or something I have never heard of. Yes, absolutely. That was my concern. Onyx Rock sends a super chat and he asks, did I read Marco Pierre White's White Heat? Absolutely, I did. And I had a copy of this book on Prince Edward Island. It was Mama JF's book. It's a beautiful book. It feels really good in hand. And it's an inspiration for me. I love Marco Pierre White. But I lost the book. I lost the book when maybe it's at my mom's house. I would have to check. But I think I may have left the book behind. I may have had to throw it to the trash, because when you move from across the whole country and on top of it, you have the state after you to try to kidnap your family, you have to act quick. And it might have been that I lost my White Heat. But it's a great book. I remember it as a very great book. And if I can't find it, I might very well just rebuy it. It's something that's really good to have. All right, so that was what I had to say about the book. Charles Murray was asking, serious question, what ethnic group is not inherently clannish? And I answered, white boomers. White boomers are one ethnic group that is not inherently clannish. I'm so tired of this, what about it? What if... What about all these groups that are ethnically solidary? Well, it's like in the context where you punish white solidarity and white identity, yes, it's a problem. It's a problem when you criminalize white identity while celebrating the identity of other groups. And it's like, oh, I don't know, I'm a libertarian. Whoever can do whatever they want. Well, Okay, that would be great. That would be awesome if everyone could do whatever they want. But it's not the current situation. The current situation is effectively white identity is criminalized. And effectively, non-white identity is being state-funded. That's the current situation. Elon Musk unfollows Yan Malz Chong after post about Ashley Sinclair having a baby with Hassan Piker. Yeah, I've been commenting against Ashley Sinclair and her behavior. It's absolutely, it's like she's trying to torture Elon Musk. It's like, oh, maybe Hassan Piker could be the father of our child. And it's like, this shows you how bad society has become, that she's not automatically taken, that the child is not automatically taken and sent to Elon Musk. It's like, if you go out there doing this public stunt about your children, that should be child abuse. That should be something that's a basis to say Elon Musk is going to be the father for, is going to be the caretaker for now. But you don't even get this. You don't even get this if you're the richest person in the world. That's how bad it is. It's like you can literally be the subject of public abuse and your child the subject of a public stunt. And you can't get access to your child because your fucking ex is insane in the head. Cenk Uygur was commenting, Israel owns us. That's why they were able to steal our nuclear secrets, triggers and uranium with absolutely no consequences. They send government officials for sexual tourism here. We've released dozens of their spies. They've murdered 10 Americans and no one has been arrested. Yeah, that is pretty much the situation, Cenk. But there is currently a tension where there is no doubt that the anti-Israel cause will, there will be some degree of appeals to unity. But there's also people like Nick who are now reminding us on their show, you know, down the line, the left hates us really hard, much harder than Israel or anything like this. So down the line, the left wants us absolutely gone from existence. That's how much they hate us. And I absolutely agree with Nick Fuentes. We should not deceive ourselves into a complacent view that, oh, let's just chill with Cenk Uygur, Anna Kasparian, you know, all these leftists that have risen as anti-Israel, like in the last year, while we've been spending 10 years on this question. It's really weird. And these people are not well set in a political project that is good for us. Absolutely not. Marby Dog says, Cenk is right, but he hates whites more than he hates Israel. Exactly. And one day or another, this is going to snap back. They seem to have relaxed a little bit for now on the anti-white hatred, but they're just reloading. They're just like a boxer getting ready to punch again. They're stepping back for a couple of years. I have no doubt that it's still in their heart, that they are still hateful of the meritocracy, that they still want to give themselves all of these DEI advantages and these ways to escalate the system unjustly. A YouTuber who risked his life to give a Diet Coke can to the North Sentinel Island tribe, Mikhailo Viktorovich Polyakov, received only a fine and has since shared footage of his visit despite being ordered to surrender it. So an uncontacted tribe, very dangerous people to approach because they don't know who you are. They might just shoot you with an arrow. But this guy took the risk to bring Diet Pepsi, Diet Coke, to this tribe. I'm all for the flow. I'm all for the flow of Diet Coke. I don't believe we should deprive those tribes of Diet Coke access. Ty Rogerson says, there's a documentary on an American missionary who went there and got killed. oh yeah, I mean, those are bad IDs. Don't do this. Those are bad IDs. All right, guys, let's go to the conclusion. And on my side, before I go to sleep, I'll be clicking print at Amazon, and they're going to print three different versions: a hardcover premium print, a paperback premium print, and a paperback standard print. I'm going to receive these three editions of White People Food, and I'll be able to judge which ones will I sell. Maybe the three of them. Maybe the three of them, if they all have their function and their price range, maybe I'll take the three of them. Much love, sleep well, and I'll see you all tomorrow. I won't have a regular show. We'll be on a debate on Sarah the Raging Tomato. I'll be debating Eugene. I'll be debating the idea whether gene editing is ethical. My position will be that it's not ethical, based on the theory of phenotypic revolution. Much love. See you all tomorrow at the debate.